for your heart. But no, the Lord says you're responsible. So God, that was what we talked about week one. Week two, we said, don't go grow. And, you know, in life, we are going to have some doozies. We're going to run into people, and even in church, that they're going to say things and we might just get offended. Anybody ever been offended in their life? Anybody make it here today offended? All right. So we talked about, yes, you're going to have things in life, and what you need to do is don't shut down. You need to grow. Stay where you are growing. Ask the Lord to help you through this situation. Definitely forgive that person. Do not punch their lights out, but grow. Amen. Are you all awake? That was supposed to be funny. Gee whiz. Put the coffee back on. Golly gee whiz. All right. Last week we said, weed it, don't feed it. Weed it, don't feed it. And we're going to kind of pick up on that, but let me give you some more reviews. Open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, this is Jesus, and he's talking about four different kinds of dirt, four different kinds of ground. Actually, heart, right? He's talking about your heart. So we're going to read from Mark chapter 4, verse 7. This today is going to be talking about, again, the third dirt. The third type of dirt, okay? Mark 4, 7. Other seed fell among thorns and came up and choked it, and it yielded no ground. Now jump down to verse 18. Verse 18, we have the privilege of reading a Bible. They didn't. So those disciples heard Jesus give that, you know, these are the ones that choked the dirt. And they're like, oh, what the heck's that? So they ask Jesus, and he tells them, you guys, you get the Bible. So praise the Lord. Jesus talks to him, and he says, and other things are the ones on whom the seed was sown among thorns. And these are the ones who have heard the word, verse 19, but the worries and cares of this world, the distractions of this age, with its worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness and the false security or glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all the other things creep in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So there are two important things. This is just review for those of you that weren't here last week. This is a review. I'm going to go fast over this part. But he said two important things. He says some things are going to creep in, and they're going to choke. And that word choke actually means strangle. Okay, what are they going to choke and strangle? The word out of you. The word out of you, okay? And then Jesus goes and describes, like, I call it like three categories. And it really kind of covers all of life in these three areas. So if you're taking notes, write this down. He said the first thing that's going to creep in and try to choke the word out of you are cares and worries. Cares and worries of this life. Cares and worries of this life. So if you're here and you go, you know, you think worrying about somebody says that you really care about them. If you're worrying about somebody, Jesus is going, wrong. Wrong. He said, you know, that is not going to be good in your life if you are a worrier. So if you're the professional worrier, he said, that is not a congratulations. You get a star. He's saying, no, that's not good for you. So worrying is not good. All righty. So what do you do? Because I want to tell you, I have a lot of opportunities to worry. Anybody have any opportunities to worry? Gosh. My daughter, Cassie, she's my youngest one. I think she got back yesterday. I'm not sure. She was in Africa for a week on a missions trip. My brain could go in some bad places and start worrying about where she is. Now, the good part is I had to ask her, where is Uganda? Like, I don't even know stuff like that anymore. So I could have just, you know, so she was so cute. She pulled up on her cell phone a map of Africa, and she goes, see, Mom, that's Uganda, and that country there is okay, and that one's good, and we don't have problems with that one and that one. But that one over there, Mom, we're far away. All right. I could have gotten into worrying. All righty. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Pray? Yeah, and to who? Yeah, you're going to trust him. Listen, guys, God is bigger, God is better than all the stuff you go through, and he can walk you through it. So that comes to, and Brian, you gave a great sharing. You know, it starts with a relationship where you trust him. All right, so I got my word out, and I was just trusting the Lord. And I'm still waiting for my phone call that she's landed back on American soil. So I will call today if I don't hear anything. All righty. So number one, he says, cares and worries will try to come in and choke the word out of you so it doesn't produce fruit in your life. God wants you to be a bunch of fruities, okay? But if you get stuck in this worrying thing, it's not going to produce, all righty? Second thing we said last week, it says you can be deceived by money and riches. So write that down if you're taking notes. You can be deceived by money and riches. And that simply means if you think money is the answer to all your problems, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. Listen, go find somebody who's really rich. I'm still looking for him. I mean, really, really rich. And you go ask them, is money the answer to everything in your life, all the problems? They're going to tell you no. Some of them, you know, you read about people like that, you know, they commit suicide and they're a filthy rich. They've got all sorts of problems. So money is not going to be the answer to everything in life. And we said last week that money is a tool. A tool. And I loved when Brian was saying, you know, when I am a generous person and I'm a giver, especially when it comes to the church here, that means this thing doesn't control me. Money doesn't control me. When you're a giver, when you're a generous, not just church, just life, okay? Money no longer controls you, all righty? So Jesus said, if you love money more than you love the Lord, well, guess what? Things are going to creep in and choke the word from producing in your life, okay? Yay, Pastor D, number three, write this down. Ready? Number three, the passionate desire for other things. That's number three. The passionate desire of other things will try to come in, creep in, and choke the word out of your life so it doesn't produce. And what is that? Well, anytime you crave something more, everybody say more, more than you crave God, okay? It will choke the word out of your life. It'll choke the word out of your life, all right? So I'm going to say it again. Anytime you love more, crave more the Lord, spending time in the word, you're going to have the word choked out of your life. That's just how it works. So guess what we need to be? Passionate. You know that seek ye first? First, God, you have my heart first. First, God, first, 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 first. God, you have my heart first. And all those other things will fit them in. Because listen, I have desires for things, but God, you are first, praise the Lord. So that's how you keep that in line. Last week, we were talking about weeds. And everybody know what this is? Miracle-Grow. And how many of you know you don't need to put Miracle-Grow on the weeds? You don't, all right? And you know, and we talked about by the time end of July, August comes around and we have not had rain for 4 weeks, my garden's not looking so hot. My flowers aren't blooming, but these stinking things, they're just doing great. So they don't need Miracle-Grow. Amen? Good. They do not need Miracle-Grow. I'm going to put it over here. All right. They don't need Miracle-Grow. They just do fine without your help. Right? So here's what Jesus said. If this is a picture of your heart with weeds, I hate these thistles. I have lived at my house for 30 years and you would think I've pulled them all up. Gosh, sprayed them and everything. Okay, so this is a picture of your, if this is a picture of your heart, then if your heart looks like this, guess what? The word of God is going to get choked. The word of God is choked. There's not going to be any pretty plants in there. So our series is all about the word of God. It's all about the word of God. This is the whole series. And by the way, next week's our last week for the series. So it's all about the Word of God and the enemy and the world that's trying to plant things in your garden, in your heart, to choke God's Word. That's all this is about. So when you read Mark chapter 4, that's what it's about. It's really simple. But I have to ask you a question. Is this what your heart looks like? Don't poke your husband or your wife, all right? Listen. If your heart looks like this, full of weeds, guess what? It has already started to choke the Word. It has already started to choke the Word, okay? And what happens is you start living by the flesh. We're going to talk about the flesh, okay? You start living by the flesh because all these weeds have choked the Word, and the Word of God is not leading you. The Word of God is not producing in you if your heart looks like this. Your flesh is going to lead you. Now, I'm not talking about this, okay? I'm not talking about this flesh. We're going to talk about this. The day you receive Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, raise your hand if you've ever done that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there's a change in you, right? There's a change in you. And the change was you became new on the inside. And actually, you're really a spirit. Right? I am a spirit. I have a mind, will, and emotion. And this mind, will, and emotion will love to tell my body what to do. All right? So when you receive Jesus into your life, you became a new nature, a new spirit. Okay? New spirit. Okay? Now, the interesting thing about this new thing here, there's still a flesh that wants to do some bad stuff. A flesh, your flesh that wants to do your bad stuff. And the funny thing about your flesh, it doesn't respect its elders. It doesn't care if you're 80 years old. Your flesh doesn't care if you're 80 years old. Your flesh doesn't care if you're 100 years old. You know what it does? It still wants to do wrong things. Okay, so your flesh doesn't care about stuff like that. So if you're taking notes, write this down. choked on my spit. Wow. Okay. Let's try this again. I'm such a professional pastor, D. Yeah. Right. Whew. All right. Write this down. Our flesh never is full. Our flesh, my flesh is never on full. All right. Your flesh has an appetite. It has an appetite, and it's never full, ever. How many of you know the Cookie Monster? Cookie, 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 all right? Yeah, he's just forever eating cookies. He's never full. He just is chowing down cookies, right? Your flesh is the Cookie Monster, all right? It has an appetite. Your flesh has an appetite. It's never full, and your flesh wants to do wrong things, bad things. Don't do things. That's what your flesh. Okay, that's your flesh, all righty? Now, you have a choice. You're either going to feed your spirit that's new, that's good, or you're going to feed your flesh. But what are you supposed to do? Feed your spirit, starve, choke it. Yes, thank you. How about starve? Starve your flesh. Feed your spirit, starve your flesh, all right? Now, some of you are saying, Pastor McGee, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, listen, if you look like this, guess what? You have been feeding your flesh. You have been feeding your flesh, okay? And that's not good. That's not good. So let me give you an example since you're looking at me like, what's she talking about, feeding your flesh? All right, let's just say you have this desire to get up at 2 a.m. in the morning and open up your laptop and go on some kind of site that you know you should not be doing. That is feeding your flesh, right? Get it? That's feeding your flesh. So don't tell me what I can or cannot do, Pastor D. I really am not. You can do whatever you want. But Jesus, it makes it really clear. I love Jesus. The big guy back there said it, okay? Jesus says, if we feed these things, guess what? You're going to look like this, all righty? And I don't know what about you. I don't want to be controlled by my flesh, by weeds. I don't want to be controlled by that. There's good things to be controlled by, like the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be controlled by that. So I titled my message. You can write it down because on the little corner up there says title. Ready? Don't feed the wildlife. The wild things. The wildlife. Don't put Miracle-Gro on it. Simply don't feed it. All right? Don't feed the wildlife. And we're going to talk about what happens when you feed this. We're going to talk about what happens when you feed this, all righty? Go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to take a couple of points out of there. Go to Genesis chapter 3. First book in the Bible. First person to get there can get a candy from the back. Okay. All right. Genesis chapter 3. I'll get my scriptures going here. Genesis 3. Okay, this is where, just a little background, this is where Adam and Eve, right, ate something that God told them not to eat. Disobeyed God, right? And from that point on, we got trouble in River City. We got trouble. Everybody's had trouble because from that point on, all righty? So the first thing that happens when you feed your wildlife, write this down, shame. S-H-A-M-E, shame. Shame, 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 all right? Anyone ever do something wrong? Anyone ever felt shamed afterwards? Yep. Okay, we feel shame when we start letting this wildlife do things in our life, all righty? Well, Pastor D, I believe in grace. So do I. I believe in grace. You can write that on my mirror. I believe in grace. But listen to this. Grace doesn't cover shame. Grace will tell you you don't have to be shamed, all right? But you still have to deal with it. So grace will tell you you don't have to look like that, but you still have to do something about shame, all righty? So let's talk about let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 7. Again, this is Adam and Eve, and they just disobeyed God and did what they weren't supposed to do. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. And they sewed figs together and made a covering for themselves. Okay? Write this down next. Ready? We always try to cover shame. We try to cover it. What do you mean, Pastor D? Well, think about it. I don't want anybody to know what I did, right? I don't want anybody to know what he did. Now, when I did something wrong, I should, and I'm feeling shame. Oh my gosh, especially you, Pastor D. You did what? And I'm feeling that shame. I should pick up the phone and call somebody, but we usually don't do that, okay? And I should call someone that I can talk to, and I'll say, hey, listen, I did this. Whoa, they say. And then they should say, hey, listen, go ask God to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive all of you. And then you don't have to feel shamed. That's what should happen, all righty? That's what should happen so you don't have any shame in your life. But how many of you have ever felt shame and you didn't do any of that? And you're just, I always call it sitting in the, you know what? You're sitting in it. You're sitting in the shame, all righty? You're sitting in the shame. And guys, I don't care if you're a believer that's walked with Jesus or someone who doesn't even know Jesus besides a swear word, okay? Everybody makes mistakes, and everybody can get into shame. Say everybody. So I want you to say this. Don't feed the wildlife. Now say it like you mean it for crying out loud. Don't feed the wildlife. All righty. The second thing that happens if you feed the wildlife, if you start feeding your flesh, number two is distance. Distance. There comes a distance. Write that down, distance. There comes a distance between you and God. Right? If you're feeding your flesh, this is what happens. Okay, now listen. We will have a distance between ourself and God, and not only do we get a distance when we've fed our flesh, when we've done something bad or wrong or just totally, okay, we will start distancing ourselves from God and anything that represents God, right? Yep, we okay, we do, actually. Now, so look at, if you were to just ask all the people in America, better yet, in the world, how come they're not in church? Well, I used to go to church. God bless you, little darling. Okay? You'll probably not go to church because, you know, something happened in my life. Well, that's the way they feel. And what they've done is they've distanced themselves from something that represents God. I could tell you a story about everybody that when they take off and they're no longer in a fellowship, they just distance themselves. Alrighty. So you can distance yourself from God and anything that represents God. And then stupid. You start distancing yourself from people, right? Because you've done things wrong, you have fed this, you start distancing from people, such as, I used to go to a grow group. Man, it was awesome. And then I did something, and then I started pulling back from my group. And then they kept calling me and kept calling me, and then I wasn't even returning phone calls, okay? Because I knew I did something, and I felt shame. And I didn't want anybody to know, so I felt shame. So I distance myself from people. Anybody know people like that? Anybody done that? I've done that. Okay, so everybody say, don't feed the wildlife. Feed the wildlife. All righty. Now, so if you're feeding your wildlife, feeding your flesh, shame will come into your life, right? Shame will come into your life. Distance will come in your life. You distance yourself from God, from people that represent the Lord or anything having to do like that. And the third one, write this down, blame. Blame. All right. Blame. Genesis 3 verse, let's see, 12. Let me back up. Back up to Genesis 3:9. Back up to Genesis 3:9. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? Yeah, I chuckled when I read that. Like, God doesn't know where you are? Huh? All right. The Lord called to the man and said, where are you? Verse 10. He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid and I was naked and I hid. All righty. Hid is that distance. It's been happening since Adam and Eve. We distance when we've done it big, bad, and dirty. All righty? All right, now, look over at verse 12. The man said, the woman. Everybody say, the woman. The woman. Woman. Okay, the woman you put here, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. All right, so you know what he's saying? Hey, God, you put this woman here. It's your fault I did it. Blame, right? It's your fault, not mine. Golly. Now, some of you are sitting here and you prayed for your spouse. You prayed for your wife. You prayed for your husband. Man, I'm believing God for just a super gorgeous, godly woman. I believe in God. And then God brings the woman of God to you, the dream, all right? And then you're like, yay, okay? And then 10 years go by and you go, God, what did you do? Right? Right? Listen, God didn't do anything but answer your prayer, right? He answered your prayer, but maybe if you started treating them as the person that was precious and valuable, if you started treating them as the gift of God that God gave you, maybe the whole relationship wouldn't have deteriorated. I'm just saying. Moving right along. Okay, so the man says, hey, it's not my fault, it's hers. Now, verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is it you've done? And the woman says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. All right? Did you see that? How many of you grew up in the 70s? I was just talking to somebody. We were talking about, I remember wearing go-go boots. My aunt Essie, my mom wouldn't buy them, bought me a pair of white go-go boots. Oh my gosh, I thought I died and went to Jesus, all right? So cool. Everybody should have an Aunt Essie because they didn't have any children. They buy the best gifts. Oh my God. Anything my mom wouldn't buy, just talk to my aunt. Okay, 70. So how many 70s? How many of you in the 70s, write this down. Remember, Flip Wilson. Those of you that don't know that, write it down. Google it later. You'll be on the floor. Okay. Do not start laughing, because then I'll know you turned it on your Google and you watched it. Okay. Flip Wilson is a black comedian, had his own show, and he would do this one sitcom with this really funny voice, and he would say, "The devil made me do it," right? Everybody say that. "The devil made me do that." Now, what? She didn't know that, right? You guys, it goes, I would say put it on, but no. All right. I think that's where a lot of Christians are. They are blaming somebody else for stuff in their life. "The devil made me do it," all right? You're probably not going to like this, but we live in a world, and there's so many things that tempt you, right? You can go hide off and nobody will know all the things. There's just lots of stuff that tempts you. But listen, when we feed this wildlife, when we feed our flesh, it's not the devil's fault. 99.9% of the time. It's not the devil's fault. It's you allowing your flesh to control you, to dominate you. Okay, you want to hear a bad story about me? I don't drink no more. I don't do weed no more. I don't do this no more. Okay, don't even know that part. I'll be looking at her. Okay, but sugar, man. So we had the girls sleep over here, praise God. But then they came to my house to go swimming at my neighbor's, and they brought tons of sugar. So I'm preparing this message, and I am practicing it. I am crucified. Wait, I'll tell you the rest of it. I'm not going to do that. I don't know the grace of God and all that stuff. And then last night they all left, and I was going to empty the trash. And I'm like, that stinking thing's heavy. What is in that? There's a cake with the container with the lid on it. I pulled it out and ate it. Okay. I was allowing my flesh, and I couldn't say, "The devil made me do that." I allowed my flesh, and then I got about 4 bites into it. I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, help me, help me." Threw that thing, tore it apart in the garbage can, not in the container that had the lid that no mice in, and then threw it outside, okay? I was allowing my flesh to dominate it. Gerald, do not bring that stuff to my house, okay? And we've all done it, right? We've all done it, just Pastor D, okay? I feed the wildlife. My flesh does things I don't want it to do and say things, okay? I allow it. I allow it. Okay. So I think it's really interesting when Adam says, "Hey, it's not my fault. It's your fault, God. That's not because of that woman you gave me," right? I thought that's kind of interesting. And then God goes to Eve and says, "What did you do, woman?" And she goes, "That's not my fault. It's the devil. The devil made me do it," right? The serpent, which represents Satan, okay? Guys, we live in a culture and a society, and really it's been going on since Adam and Eve here, where we like to blame somebody else, right? We like to blame somebody else. Let's see, we do it at work. Oh my gosh, okay, it's not my fault, it's my boss. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault, it's this crazy company I work for. We like to blame other people, don't we? We do, okay? And I really think we have to watch out for that. We need to watch out, especially if you're raising kids. Listen, if you're raising kids and we want to raise them better than we did, right? I know, I was like, man, they're going to be better. Well, okay, so, but listen, watch out with your kids, because if they have watched you blame everybody and their brother and their sister for how you turned out and what's going bad in your life, guess what your kids are going to do? They're going to be blaming everybody. Can't even think of a good example. But anyway, your kids will just do what you do. Blame. So don't blame. You know, it's okay to own it. Everybody say own it. Own it. Say, "I made a mistake. It was my fault." Own it. That is the greatest teaching lesson for your kids. Man, awesome. Okay, so I don't want my kids to be blaming everybody for life. I love it. Well, I'm like that because my dad didn't do this. I'm like that because the neighborhood did that, okay? So we don't want that. I actually know this person. Change the names, protect the innocent. And she was telling me, it was a she, that she just spent like $10,000 she went shopping on Amazon Prime. with free shipping. And her husband found out, and it was like, well, the devil made me do it. You can't say that. Like, he was there twisting your arm and pressing your fingers. Come on. You know, and this is what we would say, women. Well, it was on sale. So you actually, what did you do then? No, but you blame somebody. Kurt, you got problems there. Okay, you actually are blaming something. Somebody else, all right? Poor husband, poor husband. Guys, God made you a free-willed person. He gave you a free will. You are not a robot. God did not make you a robot. You can say no. You can say no to anything. You can say no to heroin. You can say no to porn. You can say no, all right? So are you ready? How to learn how to don't feed this? We're going to talk about how don't feed this. We're going to, all right? Don't feed this. Everybody say, don't feed the wildlife. Why? Because if I feed this, it's going to choke the word, right? And I'm going to look like this spiritually. This is going to be me spiritually, all right? I don't want that. All righty, so praise God. How about we learn how to pull the weeds out? How about we learn how to do that? Okay, we're going to learn how to pull them out. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:17. And if you'd like to come to my house and weed anytime, I'll give you a glass of water. Okay. Y'all at Galatians 5:17? Galatians 5:17. If you don't want to, they'll pop it. If not, just write it down. Go look at it. It says, for the flesh or the wildlife. For the flesh desires or craves. The flesh desires or craves what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But, we won't read that part. Listen. So another way of saying this, you have this flesh and the spirit, and they're in opposition. How many remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Yeah, it's this big plastic thing. It looks like a boxing ring, and they've got this robot, and you hit it, and it goes like this. They're constantly popping each other, okay, until finally you hit them, the head goes up, right? All righty. So listen, your flesh and the spirit, they're in opposition. They're opposites. They're just going at it, all righty? Now, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, your human spirit becomes new because God, the Spirit of God, comes inside of you. And listen, so he's saying your human spirit, this new one, this new creature, this new person that you are, is in a fight against your flesh. That's all this says. Galatians 5:17. They're in a fight, all righty? Now, how many of you remember all the stuff you did before you received Jesus into your life, okay? Some days I remember that. Well, that stuff you did, that's called the wildlife, all right? And listen, if you feed the wildlife, if you start feeding that old stuff, go do some of those old things, it pops up again. And you're like, I'm a Christian, I can't believe I did that. Well, yes, I can. You were feeding it. It'll pop up. Have you ever said a bad word and you're like, gosh. And then I remember who I was hanging out with. And I was like, yeah, I was feeding it. All right. Let me read the last part of 17. It says, the flesh desires and craves what is contrary to the spirit. The flesh, your flesh, craves and desires what's contrary to the spirit. Then verse 19. The acts of the flesh. Sounds like a novel. The acts of a flesh are obvious. Everybody say obvious. Okay, Paul, what's so obvious about him? Oh my gosh, read it. Ready? The acts of the flesh are obvious. It's obvious, guys. You can't, oh, I didn't know. No, no, no. It's obvious. Well, you didn't tell me. No, no, no. It's obvious. I love kids' excuses. It's obvious. Okay, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Okay, everybody look up here. When was the last time you committed debauchery? You don't even know what it means, right? Well, let me tell you what it means. Ready? Debauchery. This is the Greek, and this is kind of like the main thing. There's a couple of things, but this is like the main road that they all mean. Ready? You have something that makes you lose control. You've done something that makes you lose control. All right. Not me. Just going to tell a story about somebody else. All right. It's high school. And you get into your dad's stash. And you guys and the buddies, you go drinking before the dance. Because you don't know how to dance. You can't dance. You wouldn't dance. You're shy. But you are drinking. You are drinking so much that you don't even know where you are. And you show up at the dance and you are dancing on tabletops. Debauchery. Right? You lose control. That was Charlie Costin at my 20th year high school reunion. Nice guy. And he moons everybody. I was like, he lost control. Debauchery. Okay? Or how about this one? How many times have you gotten so mad that you flew off the handle and you said things you would have never said? Debauchery. Listen, write this down. When you lose control of self-control. When you lose control of self-control. Debauchery. Okay, I thought you should know what that means. Verse 20, the rest of the acts of the flesh that are obvious are idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that one. Dissension, fractions, and envy, and drunkenness. We did talk about that. And orgies, and the like. Everybody say, and the like. And the like of anything like that, okay? And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. So he's got this whole list that's obvious. It's obvious, right? That is your flesh. That's obvious. But you know it says orgies there. Anybody been to an orgy? Do not raise your hand. Okay. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you're a follower or are not follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? It doesn't matter how long you've known Jesus. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you've read or how many Bible verses you can quote. Listen, if you're feeding the wildlife, you're going to do crazy things. Orgy. All right. Bad. Crazy, okay? So I want to close up and say this here, okay? I want to help us to be the kind of person that is not going to look like this. Right? And so that we can shut off our wildlife, that we can starve our wildlife. So we're going to talk about how to starve the wildlife. Ready? Turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Miranda. Miranda was asking me about children's devotional, and I was trying to remember, gosh, children's devotional. I think I got rid of all of them because, you know, my kids grew up. And then we were talking about children's Bibles and stuff. So I'm going to read out of the ERV, the Easy Reading Bible. Okay? It's a great one for kids. And it's a great one just to put like a gush load of light. Because sometimes you read it and you go, huh? Okay. So easy to read version. So if somebody asks you what's a good Bible for kids, this is it. Alrighty, where are we now? I forgot where I'm reading. Oh, Romans 6:6. We know that our old life or our old flesh was put to death. Everybody say death. On the cross with Jesus. This happens so that our sinful selves, our flesh, this is so our flesh, our sinful selves, would have no power, no authority over us. Then we would not be slaves to sin. We sing a song here, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I love that song, right? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Well, listen, God doesn't want you to be a slave to sin. That's what the scripture is saying. God doesn't want you. He doesn't want sin to control you, master you. God doesn't want that. You shouldn't want it either. All right. Now, if I were to ask everybody, think of an area that you struggle with. Cake in the garbage can. Okay. Think about things that you struggle in life. All righty. Everybody'd have something different probably because you're all different. I'm sure nobody's digging cake out of the garbage can. That scripture just said that that old life was on the, that old life, digging cake out of the garbage can, was on the cross with Jesus, didn't it? Those old desires, those things that you struggle and you muff up on and just go lose self-control on, they were what? On the cross with Jesus. Open up to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Paul makes this bam statement in Galatians 2:20. Listen to what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I would say that over and over and over and over. Man, that just, scripture was awesome. But listen to the first part. I've been crucified with Christ. Who wrote this? This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul wrote, I've been crucified with Christ. Well, I've got news for you, baby. He wasn't on the cross with Jesus. He wasn't even on those other two crosses next to Jesus. Paul wasn't even saved when Jesus died on the cross, was he? He got saved around Acts chapter 9. So Paul makes this really bold statement. I have been crucified with Christ. And I'm going, liar, 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 pants on fire. No, you weren't. So why did he write that? Because we needed it, all right? He's telling us that what Jesus did on the cross when he died, he took all sin, sickness, disease, shame, blame, the whole thing. And he went to hell. He defeated the devil. God yanked him up, seated him in the heavenlies. That's called the plan of redemption, all right? He's telling us that everything did that Jesus did is now ours. It's now ours. So when it says, I've been crucified with Christ. By the way, crucifixion means to be put to death, in case you didn't know that, right? So he's saying, I've been put to death with Christ. And Christ got the victory. He's not sitting in heaven wimped out. He's victorious. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Glories, the great I Am, okay? So listen, that means I can put to death all those things, those deeds of my flesh. I can do it. Because I've been crucified with Christ. Everybody say that. I've been crucified with Christ. Guys, that is the whole Pauline revelation. If you just, and I tell the story, we went to a Bible study at Faith Christian Fellowship with Bob Daniels, and I was there for 6 months, and that's all he taught. You're crucified with Christ, crucified with Christ. And I'd go home going, and Jack and Rex, his buddy, they're just jumping out of their socks. And one day I got it. I was crucified with Christ, and I'm alive with him now. Ah, I don't have to let those things rule me. Changed my life. Changed my life. So I just want to encourage you. Alrighty, look over at Romans 6:11. 6:11. This is Paul again. Romans 6:11. This is out of the New King James. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, everybody say reckon. Now, if you're from Texas, you know what they're talking about. Well, we don't usually say, I reckon so, buddy. Right? All right, so you know what reckon means in the Greek? It's actually like, if you look it up, it's like an accounting term. And it means to add up, better write this down, and to take inventory. To add up like an accountant. Take inventory. Okay, so this is how we should read it. Ready? Likewise, you also reckon, add up, take inventory, and see yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You got to see yourself. Just look at all that. No, I see myself alive. Amen. All right. So you know how those things in our life that we struggle with and we're fighting every single day of our life? Those things that you just keep tripping up with, it's your flesh. You're like, you just have, someone says, well, that's just the way I am. I have a bad temper. Okay, that's a struggle. That's your flesh. And when you start seeing that as, oh, that's dead It doesn't have to control me. But first you have to see that and go, stop blaming and making excuses, all right? And say, no, that's dead. It's not going to control me, all righty? Now, I'm going to give you an example, and it's a little crude, okay? And if you've just recently lost somebody, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but this is like the best way I can share this. How many of you have ever been to a funeral with an open casket? Okay, what's in that casket? What kind of body? A dead body, right? It's a dead body. Now, it's so interesting. You can look at that body, but it's a body, but it's dead. Because if that person knew Jesus, they're not really there, are they? Where are they? They've gone on to be with the Lord, all right? And all of heaven rejoiced. Okay, but I look at that, and there's a body there, and it's dead. It's dead. It's dead. You can sneeze all over it. It doesn't matter. It's dead, all righty? Now, while that body was alive, that person was alive, and I don't know what they struggled with. I don't know what kind of things they were tempted with. I don't know. But there's that coffin with that dead body, okay? And all of a sudden, the worst temptation walks up to that casket, and it goes, hi, I'm here. I'm here, okay? What would that body say? Nothing. Why? It's dead. It's dead. So the worst temptation, digging cake out of the garbage can. I have a lot worse, really. Okay? If that's the worst temptation that comes up to you, what do you need to do? You need to say with your mouth, ah, I'm dead to sin. I'm crucified. I am dead. That thing does not control me anymore. I'm crucified. I'm dead. You don't own me. You're not going to make me. I'm dead. You need to say that. Come on. Christianity is called the great profession, confession. That's how you pull these weeds out of here, guys. You're going to have to say with your mouth. And that's it. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I'm dead to the power of that sin. That sin does not control me. Amen. You should have been shouting. Hallelujah. All right. Look at Romans 6:11. 6:11. And I'm going to do the ERV version again. Ready? Romans 6:11. In the same way, you should see yourself to being dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 14. Verse 14 says, sin will no longer master you. What did that say? Sin will no longer master me. You know why? I'm dead. I'm dead. That thing does not own me, control me, master me. Praise God. Everybody say, sin will not be my master. Oh, Pastor D, I can feel it. You're just preaching really good. I just feel like that's so true. Well, let me tell you this. When sin masters you, you'll know it. You know why? It controls you on a daily basis. If you've got a potty mouth all the time, you're known for your potty mouth, that is sin mastering you. And by the way, that's a sin. Your word's supposed to be uplifting, praising, and edifying. And you mother of the beep is not that, just in case you didn't know. Okay, so it says here, sin will not control you. Sin will not master you. All righty. Now, verse 14 again. I love that. Praise the Lord. I'm good. Verse 14. Sin will not be your master because you're not under the law. You now live under God's grace. Everybody say God's grace. I love God's grace, guys. I'm getting ready to start. I haven't done it for 2 years. I'm ready. Remember the race for the grace? I'm ready to do a whole nother set because, you know, we need more grace. We need to understand more grace. And you know what? Someone says, well, gosh, are you doing that again? People who live by their flesh don't understand the grace of God. People who are stuck in the wildlife, in their flesh, and just this, they have not understood the grace of God. Right? Okay. So, and usually it's because people who don't like grace is because it's gone to the extreme. And you know, I've read, like someone says, well, I don't like such and such. They went to the extreme. I read their stuff. They didn't say anything wrong. It's just how you hear it and how you live it. Like grace is, oh, grace. I can go do whatever I want. I can live. I can sin because God's grace is in my life, and he'll forgive me. God's grace is not, what's that, you get $200 from get out of jail card, right? Sin is not a free card with grace. That's not grace, baby. That is not grace, all right? You know, grace is not about that. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is found in Jesus. How many of you have been found in Jesus? How many of you have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Guess what you have in your life? Grace. And you know that word, be strong in the grace? That means be empowered with the grace that's in Jesus. So I'm empowered because I received Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. Woo! All right. So grace empowers you. Grace empowers you so that you can say no to the things that you should be saying no to. Grace will empower you. All right, grace will empower you not to feed the wildlife. Amen. All righty. Now, why? Because grace empowers me. Grace will empower me to say things that I'm supposed to say, and grace will empower me to say no to things I need to say no. And you know what? It is not. It is so much easier going, God, I need your help. I'm receiving your grace today. You know, I'm going to be hanging out with so-and-so, and they have a potty mouth that would make a sailor turn red. And every time I hang out with them, I end up by cussing with them. So Lord, I thank you today. I have fed on your word. I thank you, Father, that you just give me the grace. And even to tell them, hey, could you knock it off? Do you know, I have a bunch of sisters. There's only one left, but one of them, matter of fact, Liz, the only one that's left, came up and we're spending some time together, and she's a baby Christian. That means she knew to ask Jesus to be Lord of her life. And she knows that someday that God will take her home to be with Jesus in heaven. That's all she knows. She has never picked up a Bible, even though every year I send her one for Christmas, you know. And then when I was down there, I took them all back so I could send them again, give it to her. And I leave her notes and stuff like that. But she hasn't read that, so she hasn't fed that. And so Lizzie thinks a potty mouth is just fine. And you know, I find amazing. I must be on a different planet some days. Women in the workforce have one of the worst potty mouths than men. Man, my mama would have had a bar of soap on you. And those nuns would have smacked you right on the back of the head. Gee whiz. Okay, where am I going with this? I don't know. Praise the Lord. So, I know. So Liz, who's not feeding her spirit, she's just still feeding her flesh and stuff like that. Anytime she drops the F-bomb or anything like that, she turns around right away. Oh, I'm so sorry. She knows. They're obvious, right? Okay, that's why I said that. Alrighty. So here's how this thing works. If you are feeding your flesh, feeding the wildlife, okay, you know what's going to happen? You get warped. You start, listen to this, you start justifying what you did. If you keep feeding this, and then you do things that you know, and you still keep feeding this flesh, and you're not saturating, you're not spending time with the Lord, you're not feeding yourself, you're feeding your flesh, you know what's going to happen? You will justify the bad things you do, the wrong things you do. You'll justify it. It's okay. Everybody else is doing it. Yeah. All right. So you don't want to be warped, right? See, I'm not warped. All righty. So what happens if we stop feeding the wildlife? What happens? Well, let me tell you. 2 Peter 2:7-8. It says, Lot, righteous Lot, who lived among them, he kept having his soul tormented. It was constantly beat down, beat down, beat down. His soul, his emotions, his mind was beat down by the things that he saw and the things that he heard. Right? We talked about that scripture a couple weeks ago. Alrighty. So, can I just say this? If you really are a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you really are a follower of Jesus, you have to admit that maybe we have to monitor what we see and what we hear. Like, duh, Pastor D. No, but write that down. We have to watch what we see and what we hear, okay? Because what we see and what we hear feeds this. It feeds it. It's just so basic, okay? It starts feeding it, okay? Now, part of this whole deal is you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. That's my sister Liz. Bless her darling heart. She's so cute. But she's never removed. She doesn't keep Liz, read the Bible. Okay? You have to read this. You have to renew yourself with the Word of God. Okay? We have a book in the bookstore. It's by Casey Treat, and I forgot what his wife's name is. A pastor in the state of Washington or Oregon, one of those. Pastoring for years, just great. And he wrote a book called Renew Your Mind. All right? Go get it. There's only one left. Okay, go get it. Or go on Amazon, it probably costs you cheaper. Don't tell Kathy I said that. Okay, there's also, we also have a whole slew of mini books. It's called Confessions. Confessions will renew your mind. You take the Word of God, get it out of your mouth, it scrubs up your mind so that you're not feeding the flesh. And all of a sudden you're being led by the Spirit, okay? So just some good books here. Okay, now, you will not, until you understand that you have to renew your mind, you're going to keep feeding your flesh. Until you understand you have to renew your mind, you're going to feed your flesh. And the word renew means to renovate. I'm in the middle of renovating a bathroom. Do you know it gets ugly before it gets pretty? Yeah, and we're getting ready to do the other bathroom. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. All righty. Okay, so it gets ugly before it gets pretty. So listen, you have to renew your mind so you can change your thinking so that you can change the way you've always acted and the way that's not been good for your life, all right? So you have to renew this mind. Everyone say for the last time, don't feed it. Don't feed the wildlife, okay? So let me say this. Today, when you walk out of church, you're going to have an opportunity to feed the wildlife. I bet before the sun goes down, you're going to have an opportunity. And it may be while you're driving home, somebody cuts you off and you're ready to wave some fingers at them and say some words at them, right? You, okay, all right, okay. Or how about this? You're just going to have an opportunity to feed the flesh. And you're going to go, wait a minute. Don't say that. Pastor D said, don't feed the wildlife. I'm not going to feed it. Okay? Don't feed the wildlife. Now, I want to say something here. You have to become conscious of it. I know when I feed my wildlife. Anybody else know when you're feeding the wildlife? Come on, fess up. Lightning bolts down on you if you don't fess up, all right? I know. And I know when I need to stop it. And I thank you for all the people that helped me in life. But, you know, I know. Wayne, you know when you're, yeah, you know, I know. Okay. So I believe if we stop feeding this wildlife, we will be the kind of dirt that Jesus talked about as the last kind of dirt in Mark 4, which is next week. Last dirt. The good dirt. How many of you want to be the good dirt? Good. All right. So I'm going to go throw that in the garbage can. Let's pray. You want to stand up, y'all? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Go visit our bookstore, guys. It's